Hello and welcome to the Sound Plus Doctrine podcast. My name is David Zimmer.
My name is Bob Coughlin. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
So grateful for the people who listen to this, watch it. It's so kind.
Yeah.
So today we are talking, this will be number three in a series, actually. It's going to be a four-part series, but we're not labeling them four parts because we found that when we do that, people don't listen to the other
second
parts.
Part.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a standalone, but it is the Hard Conversations series. So we've done Hard Conversations with your pastor, Hard Conversations with your musicians. Today, we're talking about Hard Conversations with your church members. So David, this is really helpful because there was a conversation I've been wanting to have with you that I just thought we'd do it on the podcast.
I'm sure that's true.
No, just slightly. We did a whole podcast let me set it up. There are moments, for some people more than others, where, you know, you're a musician, you're a leader, you're trying to serve in your church, and you are, you're doing what you think you should be doing and trying to do the best you can. But there's that one or that two or three or more people who just really don't like what you're doing. Or they might like it. We'll talk about both sides of that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the church is the church. It's we're a body, we're a community, we're meant to work together. It's not just a job or a role you're fulfilling. We want to serve those who are part of our church. But there are those times when someone, some churches have like suggestion cards. I knew a guy once who, you know, it's church, yeah, we got this card this past week. Yeah. Would you stop it with, and just get critique that way? That's not a very helpful way,
right?
Anonymous. But when someone comes up to you and you begins this conversation, it's like, we want to talk through some of those ideas. And we are going to start with song suggestions. We did a whole podcast on this.
Yeah.
Called Why Don't We Sing This Song? And just very briefly, the things we covered there were, first, check your heart. You know, when someone says, why don't we sing this song?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that ever happen to you when someone says something, just inside you just go, whoo! Walls go up, the defense, you idiot, what are you going to say? You know, so check your heart. That's the first. Second, thank them.
Very important.
Because Psalm 141, verse 5 says, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. You know, so it may not be correction necessarily, but, you know, if someone's saying, hey, why don't we do this? I want to welcome that.
Yeah, they care enough to say something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So thank them. Third, ask the person what they liked about the song. And if I haven't heard it, then I'll, you know, go listen to it. And then tell them I'll get back to them.
Yeah.
So just, I want to have a conversation rather than just, no, we don't do this.
Yeah.
And then fourth, get back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what we covered in that 30-minute podcast. That was a lot shorter.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could make our podcast really short.
We're just learning that now.
I know. So the second area that may be a hard conversation is just general song choices. So these could be the conversations that start out, you know what? Why don't we sing better songs? Or, you know, why don't we sing slower songs? So more general categories. Why don't we sing faster songs? Why don't we do more hymns? You know, not necessarily a specific song that we're talking about, but just in general. So I think the first two points are the same. You know, first check your heart and thank them. But then, you know, ask them what songs they suggest. Get specifics. Like, is there a specific song? Because sometimes that is the entree to, you know, I want us to sing this song. Why don't we do more? You know, I want to sing fast songs. Why don't we sing praise or whatever? It's just this opens the door for me to make that suggestion. So ask them. You know, is there a particular song you're thinking of? And you know, see what they say. But that provides an opportunity to talk about why we sing the songs we do. And I would say if you're a leader, if you're a pastor, if you're responsible for the songs, you should have a good idea of why you sing the songs you do. I mean, we do Sunday planning every week with a couple of guys, and, you know, we're always asking that question. What's the purpose of this song?
Yeah.
What's, you know, What would be your thoughts on that?
Well, I think when you're having these conversations with people in your church, I think I love how you're starting with giving them sort of the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. First, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Yes. I was in a situation one time where the worship leader that was picking songs for my friend's church, he was picking like really old, obscure songs that people didn't know. They were very confusing to sing, hard to sing.
Kind of like some of the ones I pick.
No. And what was interesting was, my friend asked me, could you come and just talk, to have a conversation? Because I've had multiple conversations with my worship leader, and it doesn't seem like we're clicking. So this is a congregant. Okay. My friend is a congregant coming to their worship leader. And I remember coming to him and talking to him, and he was so gracious and kind. And I said, hey, have you considered this song? You know, this is a newer song. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I don't have time to like prepare.
Very interesting.
So that's really helpful that you would give me a suggestion and I would go with it. And I guess my point in telling that story is a lot of the times when we're either coming to our worship leader or people are coming to us, we might have limitations as a worship leader that we're not even aware of.
That's good.
And you can say, oh, that's helpful. I want to consider that. I want to think through that. And vice versa, if you're feeling like fearful to talk to your worship leader, well, he might be in a place where he has those limitations.
Yes.
So, yeah, just sharing, like giving both sides the benefit of the doubt, I think is helpful.
Yes. I mean, some of the things, we're pretty intentional about the songs we use. Not, you know, there's no perfect liturgy, there's no perfect collection of songs, order of songs, but we're always thinking about it. Why this song?
Mm-hmm.
So some of the principles we use are obviously scripture determines our songs. You know, if we have a call to worship, that next song is meant to flow out of that call to worship,
mm-hmm.
meant to be a response to it or an expansion of it. We want to sing songs people should sing.
Yeah.
Which is they're rooted in the Word of God. And then there's the issue of song diet, which is, you know, over a period of time, what kinds of songs are we singing?
Mm-hmm.
So there may be, you know, an up song, a fast song that would be really great, but you know, we really don't need that right now. What we need is this song of, you know, repentance.
Yeah.
Or what we need is this song of reflection, which is hardly true of any church. Every church is looking for up songs and fast songs.
Yeah.
We have a limited number of songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we've shared before that we have about 100, 110 songs we do a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not that many.
Yeah.
So you've got to be very careful about what songs you're going to do. And then all the songs that we choose for a meeting are determined by the word that's being preached the
mm-hmm.
week before and then the week of. So it's not just a matter often of, hey, let's just do this song.
Mm.
I may have a great song that I want us to do, but haven't found the right spot to put it in. So it may be, you know, that's a great song, but it may be a few months, 6 months, you know, until we find that spot to use it in. So those are some of the things that I'll share with someone if they're saying, why don't we do this? And then ultimately, it's Philippians 2:4, you know, we're to prefer one another musically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not about making everybody happy.
Yeah.
It's about everybody saying, you know what, there might be someone in the room who's enjoying this,
mm-hmm.
this style, musical style, because the words we all want to be agreed on. But I just know that I don't want to look only to my own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Yeah.
It's Philippians 2:4. And so that's the thought we're going to go into this discussion with and end with is, you know, wherever we land, we want to be aware that there are more people than just me who desire this. And I would never want anybody just struggling,
mm-hmm.
you know, with why don't we do this kind of song?
Yeah.
I want to really hear them out.
Yeah.
And then just give them the reason for why we do the songs we do.
Yeah, I think that's great. I don't want to overlook something you said that I think is so very important. The reason that you're choosing songs is not because you love the song. It's because it's fitting into the scriptures that you've
yes.
chosen.
Yeah.
It's fitting into the maybe the series you're talking through, which are informing the scriptures that you're doing. So that's a really helpful foundation that you should be thinking about the songs that you're choosing. Because if it's a free-for-all week to week, like if it's just anything goes, yes, any songs I like, well, then you don't really have a filter to, yes, sort of buffer the songs that you don't want to do because of what they're saying theologically or whatever. And
how difficult they are to sing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So I think that's just very helpful. And if it's not tied to the scriptures you're doing or the series you're going through, and it's a free-for-all, then there's no standard anywhere.
Yeah, you have less of a reason to tell someone why you're not doing that song.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's a good song to do, you just, well, why not? You do your songs.
Right.
How about one of my songs?
Right.
So, no, it is about
yeah,
the word driving everything we're doing. So that's one hard conversation. Here's another one. Just general criticism.
Like you're ugly. And
yeah, something like that. I don't like the way you lead. You know, and
oh,
more
man,
often you hear about,
yeah, yeah,
someone else saying that, you know. Or it could be, I like it when you lead, not when they lead.
Mm.
You know,
I really like it when you're gone and other people lead for you.
Yeah, it could be that. Again, always check your heart. And it's just so good in those moments to ask questions. Proverbs 18:15, the ear of the wise, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge,
yeah,
and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge.
Yes.
Just, it's like a life verse for me. I'm trying to, yeah, this is good, this is good, this is good, because I forget so often. So often, mm-hmm, I just want to respond. So, you know, ask questions like, how well do you know them? You know, that's, is this a friend? Is this a newcomer? That's going to make a difference how I respond. How well do they know the leaders?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this just someone who, like in a comment section on social media, they just kind of drive by, you know, and then just move. or are they really planted in the church? That makes a difference. How well do they understand the purpose of the gathering?
Mm.
You know, like what the music is for.
Right.
Because again, we all come into a church with preconceptions.
And preferences.
And preferences.
Mm-hmm.
What the music's supposed to feel like, sound like, look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may not be doing it perfectly, but you've got to be aware that may be influencing some of the things you're feeling.
Oh, totally. And, you know, being charitable enough to ask these good questions, but also sort of see it from their perspective. I mean, I've visited a church where I didn't know any song.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do their own songs or they do songs that I don't listen to. And it's like four songs back to back.
Yeah.
Never heard this, never heard this, never heard this. And I just think like, maybe this is the regular diet of this congregation.
Yes.
You know? And so being charitable enough to say, okay, they're new or they're not familiar with Reformed theology or they're not familiar with hymns or our church or anything. It's like we bring so much of our preferences into any gathering we're at.
Which is, a little sidebar here, why it's so important, whatever songs we do, to always emphasize the content.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are these songs saying?
Yeah.
Not just assuming, hey, everybody's jamming with this. This is so great. We're having a great time worshiping the Lord. No, there are probably people who are going, I've never heard this song.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple join the church not too long ago, it's in the past year, who said when they first came, they're from California, when they first came, they really didn't know many of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But because of what they said, and because they weren't too difficult to learn, they began to appreciate the songs that we sang.
Mm.
And again, we're not trying to do only Sovereign Grace songs or,
right.
You know, we want to do any song that says what we want it to say,
mm-hmm,
with the words saying. But I think because we emphasized what these songs are saying, it made it easier for them
to
learn and to grow and to appreciate.
So well said. Yeah.
So I was grateful, because I know there are people who aren't familiar with the songs we're singing, maybe 3/4 of them, I don't know. I mean, if you've never heard Sovereign Grace music, most Sundays we maybe do 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5, maybe 4 out of 5. I don't know.
But we're careful about it, though.
We're mindful of it.
Yeah.
It's just, well, okay, we've done 3 Sovereign Grace songs. Let's do a hymn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's do something everybody knows. Mm-hmm. But we're aiming it at our church. It's not for newcomers,
mm-hmm.
but we're aware of them.
That's great. That's great.
And so another question to ask is just, you know, what's been their experience in other churches? You
mm-hmm.
mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So where have you come from? What was it like? Is this your preference, or is this something that other people feel? You may not want to ask them, but just be asking yourself, have other people said this to me? Is this, mm-hmm. or talk with others? Do you think this is an issue here? Because we just can become so easily blind
mm-hmm.
to what we're doing and how it's affecting people.
Yes.
So that's a gift. All right, non-singers. This is what I've had numerous leaders talk to me about this. You're looking out at your congregation and you just got that one person who's just like, maybe it's more than one person. Maybe it's like half the congregation.
Oh, man. Yes.
Do you have thoughts? I mean, do you have stories?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I have stories I probably shouldn't share.
Okay. All right, then. I'll share one story.
Yeah.
It was a guy in our church who, would look out Sunday after Sunday, and he would just not be singing at all.
Yeah.
And so one Sunday, he came up after the meeting, and we were talking, and I said, hey, I just noticed that you don't seem to sing. Like, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
So we just had a conversation about it.
Hmm.
And over time, he began to sing. And
wow.
And it was just so wonderful. You know, I asked him, do you struggle with singing? Like, what's been your experience? Because it can be different things.
Yeah.
You know, some people just don't like what. Some people just don't like to sing.
Yeah.
Some people feel awkward singing. Don't feel they have a good voice.
Right.
Those kind of things. Could be, is there anything we could do better,
yeah.
you know, to encourage them?
Yeah, totally. I mean,
you
I agree with all of those things. I don't think so. I think what you said, there was a familiarity for you to even spark up that conversation
yes.
with him.
Yeah.
Right? That would be so awkward if you're just going around telling people, why
no.
aren't you singing? Why aren't
no.
you singing? You're it's relational. But you know, more often than not, when I've been in this situation and I'm looking out and people aren't singing, it's typically my fault.
Okay, well, there you go.
What am I doing that's causing you to not sing? But I think that's good.
That's a good question to ask. Is there anything we could do better?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd also want to talk to them about the benefits of singing.
Totally.
Psalm 147:1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for mm-hmm. it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. Why do you think God put that there? Why do you think it's good to sing praises?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't tell them, just help them draw out of what God has said, what he's saying.
Totally.
And then Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. This is how God chooses to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wondrous works.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the same thing in the New Testament. When we're talking about singing, when Paul talks about singing in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When's that teaching and admonishing one another happening? Well, as we're singing the psalms
yeah.
and hymns. That's why you're not just listening. God wants you to be a part of that,
totally.
Telling others what he's done.
Well, yes, and can I add, your people, you think that they instinctively know this. They don't.
Yes.
You have to teach them. You have to tell them this. You have to give them a biblical theology and framework of why they do it. Mm. It made me think of a brief story in the church that I grew up with. In my dad was the pastor, and one of his elders, I think I'm okay telling the story.
Don't use any names.
I won't. Was from... A university that didn't like drums, and thought that drumming and drums and that instrument should not be in our local
congregation. That's a common experience.
Congregation, yeah. And I happened to be playing drums in my dad's church.
Unfortunate.
And, you know, he approached my dad very graciously, very gently, and just said, I don't think this is right. Show me where this is. And so my dad told him, we need to have a biblical framework of instruments and drumming and in the Bible. And so he said, I want you to look up anywhere it talks about cymbals, percussion.
He's saying this to you?
No, he's saying this to this elder.
An
elder in his church. And that elder went to his Bible, had a biblical foundation and framework of what drums are and how they're used in corporate worship, and came back to my father and said, I was wrong. And now every time I go back to my dad's church, he is like my biggest cheerleader.
That is wonderful.
But I think what you just did with someone who just doesn't like to sing, giving them a biblical framework, is like, let's go to our Bibles.
Yes.
Before we go to CCM, before we go to what everyone else is doing, let's go to our Bibles first.
Yes. Well, and that's a great example of the, you know, just general criticism. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there should be drums here.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be a theological reason. Mm-hmm. I don't think this should be happening here. Okay, let's talk about it. You just want to, these hard conversations become a lot easier when we make them conversations and not shots fired over the bow.
Totally.
You know, I think this. Well, I think this. Well,
yes.
You know, those don't go anywhere profitable.
Yeah.
So just engaging people. So here's another one. The volume police. And they may not.
That's a hard one.
They might not have a badge, but they sure feel like the
but volume. But somehow police. They have weapons.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of churches have had this happen. And Julie, my wife, you know, ran sound in churches for 40 years.
She's gotten every evil glare.
She has gotten every evil glare. And I think there's one time where we were playing a concert and the guy just kind of reached down and pulled down the fader. Okay, all right. It could be it's just really loud, or why is it always so loud in here? You know, on Sunday mornings, you know, I'm worried about my kids, you know, all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a couple thoughts, and I would love to hear your thoughts on these, on this question, this hard conversation. First, make sure you've checked your volume.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone to every part of our room,
yeah,
and we did this in my previous church as well, and just check, what is the decibel volume?
Yeah.
You know, as we're, it's a little harder because, you know, when you're singing, our singing is pretty loud.
It's really loud.
And sometimes the singing can be louder than the instruments.
Yeah.
Which can be, you think it's coming from the platform, but really it's coming from the congregation. But
yes.
Check it. Just, it may be 10 dB difference, 5 dB difference, you know, in different parts of the room. And you always want to thank them. Mm-hmm. That's, again, it's just, when people ask questions, we can tend to judge them and say, you're just a critic. Mm-hmm. You're just a scoffer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just my enemy. But I think most of the time people just care.
Yeah.
And it may be a preference.
Yeah.
But they think it might be a preference that other people have too.
Totally.
So just, we don't know. We
yeah.
don't know until we have that conversation.
Well, and it can be painful. I mean,
it really can be painful.
You know, so yeah, I mean, I think when you're asking questions, you should ask those kind of questions. Where are you sitting in the
yes.
congregation? Where are you placed in the room?
Yes,
are you close to the speakers? Are you far? Are you?
Do you have hearing issues in
yeah.
other places?
Yeah.
Do you have hearing aids? It's just trying to understand, and then maybe suggest reasons
mm-hmm.
for don't instantly come back with, well, you're just, you know, you're a wimp. You should just, you know, try another church. That would not be the right response. But it could be where you're sitting. It
yeah.
could be EQ as well.
Yeah.
So I found this to be an issue where it's a certain pitch.
Frequency, yeah.
Frequency, thank you. That's causing the problem. So that's a different mm-hmm. thing. That's an EQ level.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, you know, thank you for your input. We're going to be checking on it. And, you know, in the meantime, I'd encourage you maybe to sit here. mm-hmm. you know, wherever, but we're going to be working on it and just mm-hmm. let them know that you're going to be talking about it. We, in my previous church, we had a document where we had filled out everything that we'd done to ensure that the volume was not detrimental. Because that's what some people would lead with, you know, it's ruining my hearing, you know, it's you're ruining the hearing of your people. But if it's, I think we're between 85 and 95, I think, somewhere around there. But when the congregation sings, it might get a little louder.
Yeah. And I would encourage, you know, worship leaders, if sound is like a weekly problem for you, I think you need to have variety in what you're doing.
Great point.
Yeah, I think you should have Sundays that are just an acoustic and our vocals. Like, set the dB level for just our voices.
Yes.
You know, and then bring back elements. But if every Sunday is like, we don't care, we're just going for it. This is what we do. Then it's just really not really serving your people.
That is one of the most unhelpful, and I would say uncharitable responses mm-hmm. that we can give to members of a congregation, just to say, well, this is just the way we do it.
Yeah.
Again, you don't want to be beholden to everybody's personal preference.
Right.
But we do want to take into account the weaker brother or sister.
Totally.
In this case, you know, those who just are really affected by how loud things are. You're not going to please everybody.
Yeah.
But you can at least make the effort to understand, to do what you can, and then create some kind of plan where they're aware you've really heard them and you're really trying to do what you can.
Yeah, and you know, that one person's preference is not everyone's preference, too.
Yeah,
so when you're receiving that criticism, you can take a deep breath and just accept that, you know, and you know, make decisions, try to be charitable and care for that person who's standing in front of you. I mean, like going back to, you know, growing up in my dad's church as a drummer, it's like there were senior saints who loved my drumming.
Yeah.
They loved it when I played.
I love your drumming. I'm a senior saint.
That's true. And then there were others who didn't like it, mm-hmm. you know? And so that was helpful for me to know, you know, I'm not intentionally trying to kill everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. But not everyone's going to be a fan.
Yeah.
And that could go for any of these categories. It's like, that's why we take a deep breath and we try to, you know, prefer their needs.
And it's helpful to remember, we are the support the singing team, as my son Devin likes to call them, the musician, the support the singing team.
Yeah, good.
That's what we're there to do.
Yeah, totally.
We don't have to impress them with our volume and our chops.
Yeah.
All right. Last one is, and this is a little different take. Hard conversations with the church members, those who come up and encourage you.
Mm.
So many people have said to me, "How do you handle it when someone comes up and says, 'Oh, I really love what you did today'? I feel awkward. I feel, you know, kind of, what do I say?" And you know, a part of that is, you know, God intends for us to be built up through encouragement.
Mm.
Think of Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another every day, which that exhort is put courage into, encourage, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So leaders get discouraged, musicians get discouraged. Someone comes up and says, "I really appreciated what you did today." God, that's a gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
He intends for that to be a blessing.
Yes.
So that's not like odd. Like, no, don't tell me, don't say anything. You know, we can become, get to that place where we don't want anybody to say anything good about us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God intends for you to benefit from that. But at the same time, Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger not your own lips."
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 25:27, "It is not good to eat much honey," which I have a hard time obeying. "It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory." So
you get sick on your own.
I know. And that's what, you know, God's saying. Look, it's fine and good if other people encourage you. Just don't seek it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things, again, in responding to that conversation, which may seem hard to you, one of the ways of dealing with that begins before that even conversation even occurs. Mm-hmm. And that is fighting a love for praise outside the meeting.
Yeah.
You know, confess your thoughts of self-promotion to others, a spouse, a good friend, a pastor, you know, ignore numbers, especially on social media. I guess that's what I'm thinking of. Just ignore how many likes, how many comments, it doesn't mean you need to be unaware of them, but just don't make that a thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, this thing I said got this many likes, or it's like, who cares? You know, and then cultivate encouragement of others. Cultivate gratefulness for others. That just helps us to be aware that when someone comes up and encourages us, oh, we're going to be alert to that. This isn't about me.
Yes.
This is about what God's doing, because you're already prone to thinking of those around you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The specific things I found helpful, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is to recognize everything we do, everything I do, comes from grace. Mm-hmm. Everything. My gifting, well, my salvation first, my gifting, the ability to practice, health, any fruit from what I do, it comes from God's grace. It's to the praise of His glorious grace. Mm-hmm. Two, everything I do as a team, with a team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, someone says, oh, so appreciated. Well, I have a great team to serve with. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not deflecting. You're just saying that the reality is I serve with a lot of people. And then my most common response is just to say, we have a great Savior, don't we? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so glad that I could be here today to lead us in reminding each other how glorious Jesus is.
Yeah.
And that's an easy response.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
What have we been doing? Well, we've been saying how great Jesus is.
Yeah, yeah.
And He is so great.
Yeah, excellent. It reminds me of that quote, you know, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks to Christ. It's like, along with that, for every look, one look at yourself, take 10 looks at others.
Yes.
The projectionist. Yes. Yeah. How often is she or he thanked?
Yes.
Your sound guy. Oh, you know, the guy wrapping cables, you know. On Sundays, our pastors say, thank the people who watched your kids and shared the gospel with them faithfully while you were able to sit in here and hear the same gospel. It's just that I just think, like, man, so many people in your church, especially on your team, go unthanked.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
Yet they still serve. Yeah. Yet they still joyfully show up and do what they believe that God is calling them to do. So I just think, yeah, if you want to crush ego, it's to look away from the mirror and to look at all the people on your team that are so faithfully serving.
And you may be, you know, just maybe you. So you're thinking, well, there's no one on my team. It's just me. And in that case, you know, there's still other people serving in the church, but you could say something as simple as, oh, thanks so much.
Yeah.
You know, and what was encouraging to you? Because that points it to the Lord. It's not, oh, well, I just love your voice. You know, that's not what you're looking for. It's just, what encouraged you? I just remembered just how kind the Lord has been to forgive all my sins. You know, that song we sang. And you know, and then rather than thinking, yeah, I chose that song. Yeah, of course. Or I wrote that song. No, rather than that, it's just, yeah, he is that glorious, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's that good. So, you know, there are probably more hard conversations we didn't get to.
If there are hard conversations you have thought about,
yes,
put them in the comments.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And we'll read your comments and maybe we'll do another one.
That would be great. But thank you for serving in the ways that you do. Mm-hmm. If you serve somewhere in your church, thank you for that. And God intends all these conversations to be opportunities to depend on Him, to appreciate the people that He's joined you to in your church, and to give Christ glory.
Yeah.
So we pray that's the fruit of this conversation for you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.